Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Scott, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Dom, Dan. Yeah, I just got back from Detroit literally yesterday. Drove from Detroit to southwest Pennsylvania. And now I'm just on the way. Laura Trump and Chairman Whatley of the RNC are actually coming to Bucks County, Pennsylvania today. So I will be heading over to meet with Laura. And you're right, I'm not getting a lot of sleep, but we got 5 months to save the country, so we're all in.
Absolutely. And I saw you holding up the number yesterday. Since you'll be in Bucks County, we expect with those two and you there today, when the weekly number comes out on Monday, it's 720, if I'm right, we ought to get it down to around 500.
Yeah, well, last week it was 924. And again, for any new viewers that are listening to the Dom Giordano Show, 4 years ago, Bucks County had 15,000 more registered Democrats than Republicans. And as Dom just shared, that number is down to 720. And so this shows you that this quintessential swing county and the swing state of Pennsylvania, that the wind is blowing to the right. And but the voter registration is only one half of the story. We got to get these people out to vote. And if they can't vote on November 5th, Tuesday, November 5th, Election Day, then we need people to vote early in person. And if you can't vote early in person, then you vote by mail. But we need to lock in every single gosh darn vote.
Absolutely. Now, Scott, you're a Virginia guy, right? Most of your life, you were in Virginia.
Yeah, Florida, Virginia, and now I'm going to transform into a Pennsylvanian.
But I just the other day had on one of my fellow hosts who knows President Trump, worked with him extensively, casino industry for years, and still knows him very well. And the idea of Virginia now, if the polling is right, that Virginia could be won, it's razor thin, and you tag in Glenn Youngkin. I like that because if you can win a state with a VP, that's big. He's a good suburban campaigner. Any observations on Youngkin? How do you see him?
I'm not even sure Youngkin is in the running at this point in time. I mean, I keep hearing J.D. Vance. I hear Doug Burnham. You know, you hear rumors of Dr. Ben Carson as well. You know, I think Youngkin needs to stay in the position he's in. And if he does a great job helping to deliver the Commonwealth of Virginia this November for President Trump and the Republican Party, then who knows? He may very well be a senator in the future.
Okay. Now, Scott, you got several big rallies in addition to you're headed to Bucks County. And then when you come to Wildwood, you have the Barefoot Country Music Festival. We believe it draws about 40,000 plus. And I think a lot of them are potential Trump voters, but potentially apolitical, unregistered, one thing or another. And a ton of them are from Pennsylvania, maybe North Carolina. People travel to this.
Oh, yeah. Well, we one of our star volunteers, her name is Pam Propson. So, Pam, if you're listening, this is for you, baby. I know that Pam is going to be there at the Barefoot Festival, and she's organizing volunteers while I go to Mulligan's on Friday with Dom Giordano, you know, that crazy radio tack force. And then on Saturday... And then on Saturday, I'm going to the Trump Philly rally, and I really want to bring attention to that. What's happening this weekend is historic, that President Trump isn't just going to South Philly. He's not going to a Republican part of Philadelphia that we win. He's going to Temple University in North Philly, in an area where probably voters have never even spoken to a Republican ever. I love that he's taking forward this Bronx strategy, this inner city urban strategy. And let me tell you, my organization, Early Vote Action, we are operating a whole entire operation going into this weekend. So, for example, on the Early Vote Action app, you guys are going to be able to text voters that are living surrounding Temple, and we're inviting voters from the community to come hear President Trump in person. And we're making it clear, explicitly saying, Trump wants your vote. We want your vote. We are courting your vote. And furthermore, I have an entire team of door knockers that are coming in, not only on Saturday to knock during the day to invite people to the rally, but we're going to be knocking on Friday, too, saying President Trump is coming to your neighborhood tomorrow. Come out. We are inviting you. We are courting you to come listen to potentially your next presidential candidate. We want to earn your vote. And so this is going to be a lot of persuasion that the Republican Party hasn't done before. And we're not focused on Republicans. We're not focused on soft Republicans. We're focused on independents, and we will be knocking on Democrat doors this week. So people are going to be hearing on social media about Trump and Philly. They're going to be watching on TV about Trump and Philly. They're going to be getting a text message from Early Vote Action volunteers about Trump and Philly, and they're going to be getting a knock on their doors about Trump and Philly. And I'm very excited to see this translate into bringing new people into the equation and courting Democrats. And the last thing that I really want to say is I want the black vote. President Trump wants the black vote. And we are going to be working tirelessly to make sure that every person feels welcome coming over to support Donald J. Trump this November.
Scott, that is remarkable. And we know the organizing genius. You probably know this, but for listeners, a reminder. In 2012, Mitt Romney had several wards in Philadelphia. Now, there may have been some cheating, maybe. Zero. He read entire wards. There were like five, six, seven wards. That's a big voting block. Almost impossible, but zero votes. Zero votes.
Yeah.
If Trump, incrementally, you're the ultimate incrementalist, and the more people we have like that, the better chance of winning. If he does incrementally better due to this effort, both here in Philadelphia and other black neighborhoods in the swing states, he's going to be the president. That's all that it takes.
100%. Well, let's talk about data and let's talk about proof of concept. If President Trump wins 25% of Philly, which still means that he loses Philly, I'm not here to tell you that President Trump's going to win Philadelphia. That's not what I'm saying. If we win 25% of Philly, he's president of the United States. And furthermore, David O, who ran for mayor, won 25% of Philly in his mayoral election. It can be done. David O already proved that it can be done. So now we just need to translate. Look, this is an economic message. We want to put more money in your pockets. We want generational wealth for the black community. We want business ownership for the black community. And I mean, and all Americans, but especially for this demographic in Philly, we are bringing a message of home ownership, business ownership, generational wealth, safety, security, and more money that they can pass on to their families, make babies, and have a generational success. That is our message that we're going to be bringing to Philadelphia this weekend. I am very serious. And again, I want to say this for everyone to hear me. I want the black votes, and we are going to be working tirelessly to earn the black votes.
Absolutely. Scott, we are thrilled. I can't tell you, already down here in Wildwood, the people I run into, I've seen Scott Presler. I can hardly wait to meet him. And I said, well, the only thing is, watch him. He'll put you to work here. There's a lot of stuff that he wants you to do.
Watch
this.
You don't even know what's coming.
Exactly. So where do they go until Friday? Where do they go to sign up, be a volunteer, or to see more about your efforts?
So please, I really need your guys' help. Download the app today. Today on your iPhone, on your Android, go to your App Store, go to your Play Store, Early Vote Action. Please download it. I even put a tutorial on my social media today that teaches you how to use it. It couldn't be easier. Go to my website, support my work financially, please, earlyvoteaction.com. That's earlyvoteaction.com. And you can slide into my DMs in the most wholesome of manner, at Scott Presler, S-C-O-T-T-P-R-E-S-L-E-R, on X.
All right, Scott, thank you. Good luck today in Bucks County. We'll see you on Friday.
See you boys Friday.
All right, Scott Presler. I didn't know about the massive door-knocking campaign, too, in North Philly, et cetera. And there I would take my chances more than the groups that went out in Kensington.
Good point.
I saw them. I was there as they were going out, as they were moving the barricade to let me get my car out that they had protected. It is thrilling to see what this guy is able to do. It's incrementalism. He gets it. If Trump wins even close to 25% of the vote in Philadelphia, even if it's 20-21, I think he carries Pennsylvania. Guy Shirocki, same thing. You know, what do we have to do to convince more people, though? Or is it just the caller we get that just is soured on everything? I get it. I get all the complaints. I get what progressives are up to. But that just ups the stakes. That's the way that I look at it. It's not of, oh, look at what they're doing. It's more about what we're going to do, what we are doing. And I hope you catch some of that optimism. I hope you come over and meet Scott. He's an inspirational in person. He's a lot of fun. And, of course, we have the band ready to go. We got our usual cast of characters. They're numbering like 20 of them now. All over at Johnny Z's Mulligans. And Johnny puts on a great time right there on 310 West Hildreth, right in Wildwood. Roe will be there. Dan, I'm not sure if she's bringing in a hairdresser or not for this.
Wow.
I don't know if that's in the budget. You may want to chat with Greg Stocker. Yeah, that's... I'm not having any of that, other than we're going to reveal it's real hair.
Yes.
You can be part of that, Dan. I give you, you can tussle my hair, too, if you choose.
I think I'll pass on that. Thank you.
Bro will be the only tussler there.
She can do all the tossing.
All right. Let's go to 855-839-TROLL. Side question. Mulligans. It means a second chance. It means somebody who deserves it or somebody who got it. Maybe they didn't deserve it. I think Jesse in Winmore has got a good one. Hey, Jesse, good afternoon.
Hey, Dan,
yo,
how you doing today?
Good.
You there?
Yeah.
How you doing, Dan?
No, Dom. You're on the phone with Dom.
Dom.
You're not screaming.
I'm in Dan.
Yeah.
All right. I met you down at Mulligan's last time you were there. My friend Sue and I gave you that talking head from Trump.
Yes, the only thing is you cost me. Roe bought three of them while we were in Wildwood. Three of them that she's already delivered, hand-delivered two of them. So you got to watch it. No items under, you know, make sure the item's under 5 hours this time, okay? Just kidding.
I'll try. My second chance candidate is Michael Richards from Seinfeld.
That's a good one, I think. Dan, why do you say no? Seinfeld vouches for him.
He vouches for him. I don't know, man. Like, when you're using the hard ER and the N-word to talk back to a heckler, I think you could handle that much better. And
well, is that forever? Is he canceled?
And that's the point Jerry was making. It was, you know, one bad moment in time, one bad night. Should his entire life be changed because of that one bad moment, one bad night?
Yeah, I'm more with him than I am Roseanne, potentially. All right, Jesse, I'll put that one on the list. I think that's a good, debatable one. All right, that's the side question today. Somebody who deserves a second chance or somebody who got one you think they should have or not. Jump in with that. You just heard Scott Presler, the latest coming to Montgomery County, that big rally they're having, I guess in Newtown. Then they're going downtown with the lawyers and the volunteers. And then a massive door-knocking campaign in the middle of North Philly. I set the over and under at about 1,500 protesters on the other side, maybe 2,000. They're going to go wild in Philadelphia. You can't come here into Philadelphia. It's the attitude of the Inquirer. Well, why not? Why can't you have a two-party system? Isn't a two-party system better? Let me get into that with what we saw with George Norcross and progressives and that shocking indictment yesterday. Or was it Phil Murphy weaponizing lawfare again? All of a sudden, out of the blue, a guy who's been doing this forever, now they want to go after him. Pastor Bill Devlin was the first one to suggest it. We're going to have someone on that's going to break down the Trump rally for you. You know, what's happening and all the questions that you've had, or as many as we can get answered, they'll be coming up at 2 o'clock. And I don't think they're the decision maker, but we try to get in as many of the Trump world ears as we can. Pastor Bill Devlin sent me yesterday. He was just with the wife of Officer Fitzgerald, Sergeant Fitzgerald, who was killed brutally, assassinated by this, allegedly, this guy from Buckingham, Pennsylvania. You know the whole story. It's hard to imagine. And thinks that Officer Fitzgerald's widow would be somebody that the Trump people should contact, and somebody from the Fitzgerald family there. P- Because you have people in communities like that who are looking to get past these policies that some come from Washington. That's where some of the mentality comes from, and other vehicles. So, yeah, I think that story is riveting. It's a African-American family of great success putting it on the line and assassinated by, let's face it, a punk white guy, allegedly, from the wealthier suburbs. What does it have in common? It has in common what was allowed to go on at neighborhoods like Temple, and somewhat with Larry Krasner, it still continues on. So 855-839-1210, you can get on board. Here's a little bit more of Rachel Maddow on The View today. First of all, she said that President Biden just has to run a better campaign. We're the envy of the world. What's going on here?
Belief
now,
that
I'm sorry, Dan. Go ahead. You can play it.
The belief that Donald Trump's a threat to democracy, our institutions. I don't know that the stakes have been this high in modern history in a presidential election. Yet, I'm skeptical of polls. We all are. Trump continues to outperform Biden in key battleground states. Is there a world in which Democrats should have a backup plan for Joe Biden?
A backup plan?
If he needed to be replaced on the ticket. If we're 3 months out and Trump's still beating him in Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, North Carolina.
I mean, I think the backup plan is run a better campaign, right?
Yeah.
There's no reason that Joe Biden's record as a president is a very, very strong record. I mean, we are the economic envy of the world.
Right.
Doesn't mean our economy is perfect, but literally we are the envy of the world. We've got a better situation than anybody. We've got unemployment rates that we haven't seen in generations. We've got economic growth that any major country in the world would kill for.
Yeah, but that's not the information that they're getting.
But it's true. And so Biden hasn't been disqualified from running for the presidency by anything having to do with any of his performance. It's just that it's going to be a tough fight.
Yeah.
And so I think the backup plan is fight harder.
Yeah.
The backup plan is make sure you win the Senate. The backup plan is people should volunteer earlier. Mm-hmm. And do more and give more money and do all of those things. And there's no reason, I think, to have it be there be this fantasy that Biden's not the president and that Biden isn't the nominee. He is and he's going to be. And I think that's a fixed variable.
All right. Let's talk about the fixed variable and all that conversation with all these nitwits there. They just want to avoid the unavoidable. Well, you know, what are these people looking at here? Inflation. Baked in, diminished returns, illegal immigration, constantly threatening our way of life. I saw today that there are 7.4 million in the backlog of hearing their cases that are in this country, apparently, about asylum, etc. They remain in Mexico till we get to them. So if it's going to take forever, it's going to take forever. I frankly don't care. Why do we need any more of this? They just talk right past it. That's a nice strategy. They know if they get into it trying to convince people that inflation is not diminishing their lives, they can't do it. They know they're going to start screaming at them, they're idiots, because it's not impacting them. It's a discomfort, maybe. Maybe not even. Probably not for Maddow and the ladies on The View. You know, probably doesn't, they just write it off for their political views. So let's just avoid it. Let's keep on pretending we just have to fight harder. What's the fight harder, Rachel? What is he going to tell these people about what he has done for no reason other than to set himself up as a significant president and to pacify the progressive wing who always wants to keep on spending? What is it? Well, these people just don't get it. We're the envy of the world. 855-839-1210. There is no running away from this. That's what the bottom line is. All right, let's go to Chris in the Northeast. I think this is an interesting one. Hey, Chris, what do you have?
Hey, Dom, how you been?
Good, Chris.
I was thinking about Megyn Kelly from Fox.
Why? Why is that a mulligan?
Well, if you think about it, she left Fox, right, to do her own show, right, Today Show. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And all she did was this one segment where it was about Halloween and wearing a blackface costume. And they fired her for that because she could not walk back from that. She said it when she was a kid, that's what kids did. You know, they dressed up as a character. Right. And they fired her for that. And she never really, I mean, she's got a podcast now, but she's never really been, you know, on TV, like an anchor.
Well, right, give or take. Well, she's independent media operation, though, so I would say she's kind of got, I take your point, but I think she and O'Reilly both have their own independent outlets now. All right, that's a good one. I thought he was going to say because the trouble she had at Fox turning on conservatives, and now she's much more blatantly conservative, I think. Yeah, Megyn Kelly's a good one. All right, I want to tell you this story that is almost hard to believe. And it's hard to fully know what side to come down on this. I've played and coached in little leagues, particularly in South Philly growing up, that were, to put it mildly, intense. But this Springfield Little League, and I want to tell you, the Little League is not in Monco. It's not that Springfield. We have more trouble with them than almost any Springfield.
Which Springfield is it, Dom?
It's a Springfield in Delaware County. People always go, hey, is it Delaware County? Is it okay, Delaware County. They're angering community members and prompting an investigation. Parents flocked to a township board meeting last week to decry a flyover. People rented a plane. Now, I rented a plane, Dan, to fly over. Well, Ro did. His name is, and I'm not going to say the guy's name. This flyover went over the Little League field of a parent, first name Zach. Because they blame him for blowing the whistle to the major league official, the minor league, the little league officials, because this guy, Zach, complained about a decision to end the in-house season, you know, the regular kids, early for a second straight year so more advanced players could begin competing on summer travel teams. The guy tells Axios, they reversed the decision after he contacted a district coordinator. So they flew over the Little League game with a plane saying his name is Zach Blank. And they claim all the people there that were involved, these parents with the kids in the travel team, and some of the coaches were cheering this stunt in some way, shape, or form. No one in the league has reached out to interview him. He doubts the league is seriously investigating. The flyover could have violated an agreement between Little League and Springfield, enabling them to use the township's baseball fields as long as they follow its rules. Now, this is pretty intense, but, you know, here's my wisdom on this, Dan, that, look, you know, if you know this league goes for this period of time and your kid's better, they're advanced, then they're just going to have to play on these travel teams or whatever. Or they don't finish out that year. They go on the travel team. They just play till they can. That's what you do. You can't shut down the league of lesser kids because of these pushy parents and their kids on the travel team, right?
Yeah.
You just can't do that. You know going in what the schedule is. It's not a mystery. But then to attack this guy by having a plane fly over the Little League field while a game was going on, apparently.
Isn't it doxing?
Yes, they're doxing him.
Yeah.
They're saying, they're ratting him. It was the guy that's
why doxing him with an airplane.
That's why I'm not saying his name. They didn't put his phone number. That would have been his name
his address,
is Zach. Yeah, Zach Blank. Well, I think everybody here knows him because apparently this is the second year that he's done that. So these Little Leagues sometimes get pretty intense. I mean, I support the guy on this. You just can't end the Little League season. You know, DJ's the director of all kinds of stuff. I don't think he would end the Little League season. So for the advanced players, they should just drop out those games or play in some other league till the travel team starts, Dan.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Like, I feel like give the other kids a shot, the lesser kids, you know. Maybe this is a part of the season those kids start to look forward to as this becomes a tradition that the, you know, better
kids. Yeah, it's the playoffs and all, probably.
Yeah.
But to get a plane to get back at him, and they want an investigation. They say so far they have no evidence implicating any board members or coaches. The guy, Zach, says the stunt has made his family fear for their safety. Is that an overreaction? I don't know. When they're paying, that's like, it could be $300-500 to fly over a Little League field, to name names, to dox this guy.
I mean, I don't think anyone's crazy enough to carry out physical violence over this, right?
Well, you hope. Yeah, but, you know, he's got kids. Maybe they bother the kids.
Yeah, you bully
Your father's the one who did this so can't play on advance. You know, it's not a giant town, Springfield. Again, Springfield, Delaware County, don't send me emails. Listen, what would they do in Springfield, Montgomery County? My God. The investigation, would they blame the police somehow?
How embarrassed they are for their namesake over another county, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So when you get a plane to fly over, though, this is a pretty drastic wig. It would be easy to check if they're investigating. Who is it that hired the plane to fly over with this guy's name? And it just says his name is, and I think it was, the headline says, not the flyover he was hoping for. No one from the league has reached out to interview him yet. You don't want to be ratting on a whole thing at all, but it is Little League. They do have rules, so to speak. Dom time, welcome in. So on Fox, the noon show today, Dan, talking about this cheap fakes, deep fakes that we let off talking about around the eye test, seeing Biden freeze up, Obama get him off, what happened with NATO, and 100 other instances. And saying, are they really in the debate going to make the charge that Fox and these others are engaging in that? That's litigious. They ought to be sued if they do, because Anderson Cooper seemed to be going there last night. And it's outrageous. They're showing the full context of it, particularly this one with President Obama. It's obvious that Obama took one for the team. You can see what was going on. Try to pivot him out of there and pretend like he was slapping him on the back after he had to grab his wrist. So, anything to prop this guy up for the debate. But I'm convinced, even with all the prop up, there will be, for any reasonable person, signs with this guy. Now, will he just completely break down? Is that something that would be tactically advantageous? I still think having Biden being called out for this and still as a nominee is not a bad thing. I could be convinced, though, if Kamala Harris would be tagged in, then that's a better thing to win on our side. Because there's no way I see Kamala Harris being elected president. But is that what would happen? The scenario the Daily Mail says is they would make it an open contest and somebody like Newsom or somebody else gives an inspirational speech at their convention. They go wild and that's who they go with. I'm telling you, I don't see it happening. I just don't. And what we're going to see here with Biden is going to be able to get to a very low bar. In other words, whatever they do with him, prior to something like the State of the Union, they're going to do it big time with this. Now, on the other side, I'm happy to tell you that President Trump is actually not reading policy books. This is even better. He's not doing mock debates. Who's going to play Joe Biden? We should have made that for a side. Who is it? Mr. Magoo's not available, right?
No.
So, Dan, I would love to be the opponent. It's like the sparring partner, you know, with the champ. I remember Rocky. They thought Rocky was being called to be the sparring partner for Apollo Creed. He goes, I wouldn't be taking no cheap shots, all that stuff. So, yeah, I'd love to do that. Put him through if he can withstand that. But he's meeting with people like J.D. Vance, Tom Homan, the border guy, Kellyanne Conway, Stephen Miller, his immigration guy. Rick Grenell, who was Trump's acting director of national intelligence. And these are people that have been around him. They're not, you know, coming up with 100,000 factoids. All Trump needs in each category is one unshakable talking point and then run with that. That's all that he has to do. But flying completely by the seat of your pants, let Trump be Trump. I don't know, that's just meandering. There has to be an organizing point in there. And I think with inflation, it should be rife. With illegal immigration, he should be able to do that.
Shouldn't be hard.
No, and he, well, it does take not overloading him. You know, he doesn't like that, doesn't respond to that. And I remember...
Does he have to be careful not to allow Biden and turn himself into a victim? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
I feel the strategy that they're hoping to get out of this debate is, so look at Don being super aggressive to Joe, and, you know, Joe's the poor guy here, but he's such a better person for the country, blah, blah, blah.
Well, the last debate, the first debate, I guess, Trump did a little bit of, the microphone will be killed. So I've come around to say I'm in the camp. That's the Trump's advantage. He can only talk so much. But not overkill with the facts, but just enough to be an organizing principle on the big stuff. And actually talking with these guys, going back and forth. And then out of that, the process is write it down, a point or two. That's all. And then on his feet, you know, he'll do what he's going to do. But I would stick away from going after Biden on that. For example, Trump gets instinctually the high road. Hunter Biden, yeah, I'm not going to go there on that. I understand father and son. I understand what that's like. But I also understand what my family's been through by what has been concocted here. That's fair. There's no ground to be gained by beating up on Hunter Biden in that forum. In fact, there's ground to be gained by saying, you know, I get it with the father, but our family has gone through this unnecessarily. And Trump has said that. And I think he can do that. But Miranda Devine, sharp again, New York Post. We don't want to make Biden so bad that we've lowered the bar so much that if he just stands up for 90 minutes... pretty much, then we got to say, all right, he did pretty well. All right. So it's a tricky act here.
It's a good point by Miranda.
Yeah, it is. It is. That's all they want. They want it to be so low that they
can... It's uninformed people who tune into the debate. If we,
yes.
if we as conservatives set them up to expect just a dawdling moron
yes.
up there,
yeah.
and he
yeah.
proves us wrong by using some big words... they're going to leave it thinking, oh, look at these conservatives lying about President Biden.
Yeah. On something like this, Dan, he's been so political his entire life. He can say political things, policies, whatever, even if they don't make any sense. He can weave that together. His problem is, on a daily basis, when he's not all pumped up and whatever they're doing with him to get him ready, he just can't get through it. So for this... I think he pretty much might be able to. And what Trump's message, I think the takeaway should be, wow, you know, what they're saying about Trump is all wrong. Trump actually put forth policies, hope, optimism, reaching out to all Americans, including African Americans. The template is the Trump that we saw in the South Bronx that I think we're going to see Friday in Philadelphia. Just do that. You don't have to pound this guy into the ground. And that'll be a great takeaway. All right, let me go to Dawn, Huntington Valley, who I think is going to be one of those door knockers on Talk Radio 1210. Hello, Dawn. Afternoon to you.
Hi. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm actively door knocking currently, but I'm also going to be working inside the Broad Street rally. So with that
said, Dawn, let me ask you. You're coming from Huntington Valley, right, and going down mm-hmm. to Temple. What would you say to people? Dawn, are you insane? What would you say?
Absolutely not. I was a nurse who had to suffer through COVID. Thank God for some sense and free thinking and the freedom of thinking for myself. I knew that I wasn't taking the shot, and I didn't take the shot, and I lived through seeing things that the TV was not mm-hmm. accurate on, but I had to go to work while everybody got to stay home, and I didn't die. My family didn't die. So then I got involved, and I started knocking doors, working as hard as I can for things that I believe in, and that's baseball and the American way, right?
Yes. So what do you think of that Little League story?
The Little League, I love it. I was born and raised in Little League, and I can turn that into the transgender stuff, too, because, you know, coming from the inner cities of Philadelphia, divorced moms, softball, baseball, whatever you want to call it, saved my life. You know, it was a place to run and play in a safe city. I go to Philadelphia and I cry my heart out. I can't believe it. I can't believe what they did to the area where I could pull a little water ice wagon behind me with a little friend at 10 years old, and we could sell water ice.
But where did you grow up in Philadelphia, Dawn?
So my family is, and it did establish Monkevich Playground, which is, I'll just talk about it, a crime, Allegheny Street. They're just ruining it. It was named after my family. So Monkevich was the first pastor at St. Albert's. But anyway, so then my family was in the Wissenerming section, and now Wissenerming, you could run from park to park freely. You had a playground down the street and a playground down the other way. We sold water ice for a quarter, pulling on in our little red wagon. It's horrible what they did to the city. And wake up, people. It's been Democrat run. I mean, stop listening to your union bosses. I'm sorry, I was a nurse, AFL-CIO, 30th Street. I worked as a nurse for years down there. I watched the doctors push young women through for abortions. Like, I could go on and on and on, but leave baseball alone. It was my sanity. I loved it. I was MVP. I was all-star. I was all that. But guess what? My son now has survived everything you just talked about, and he's out there in Double Days. If you don't know the story of the Double Days team out there in upstate North Finger Lakes, look it up. It's a real good story. And he survived everything you talked about, the politics of baseball. Sit back, let the kids enjoy, let the kids, hey, my son lost away for a year or two from baseball, came back, and he's pitching. So he's doing a great job, although they only wanted him to play center field. He did what he was told. But you play the game until you win, and you end up where you want to be, right? You fake it till you make it. He was that all-star center fielder. He backed up all those pitchers, all those pitchers their stats.
I'm glad to hear all that success, Dawn. Please, great call. Call us again, Dawn. Thank you. Thanks very much, Dawn. All right, coming from Huntington Valley to ring doors down there. Now, 2 o'clock, we're going to have somebody on from the Trump. Just to give you the logistics, a little bit of this. Look, we advise people who asked, if I go there, would I be safe, et cetera? And my answer was, I think you can probably reserve a parking spot. And if people did that, maybe they've had some success on doing that. In the various parking lots, there's at least one big one there. That's what you want to do. There'll be a lot of security on Broad Street, and you'll be able to walk there, and I think it'll be secure. You go parking in the neighborhood. I'm not going to give you a pie in the sky just because Trump is going there and all. It's dicey. I mean, that's the bottom line. Just look at the crime stats. Look at the difficulty. You know that from all the stuff that's happened at Temple. So that would be your plan. Plus, I don't think it would be that easy to get a parking spot. You know, without parking 3 or 4 blocks off Broad. I don't know the crime stats, Dan. I just know my own instincts when I'm down there. I don't park on the, what would it be, going toward the river. I would not park on the going up in numbers, 15th Street and all that side. I'd be more parking on the 13th Street side. I don't have crime stats in front of me. I just have my feeling over the years when I've had to be there. That's what I've tried to do. All right? You know, it's just a gut instinct on it. Okay. More calls coming up. Let me take this one. Jeff in Hatboro. All right. Second chance. Jeff, who should get that second chance?
I'm going to say Will Smith at the Oscars. He seems really apologetic. I really like the guy as an actor. And
okay.
I really
help me, though. Has he apologized? I think What's-Her-Name says... he hasn't. Chris Rock doesn't seem like he's signed off. I'm not sure, though.
You know what? I can't answer that, Tom. I'm not positive about that. It's just everything I read about it, it does appear that he, you know, is sincere with apologies. But whether he's done it directly to him, I can't answer that. Hey, Tom, why have you on here?
Yes.
I've been trying to get a hold of you for a couple weeks now, and unfortunately you run out of time for my question. I've asked Jim this, and he said to ask you personally. So I have I live in Hatboro. That's Montgomery County. My driver's license, because I own a
pretty drastic wig. It would be easy to check if they're investigating. Who is it that hired the plane to fly over with this guy's name? And it just says his name is, and I think it was, the headline says, not the flyover he was hoping for. No one from the wig has reached out to interview him yet. You don't want to be ratting on a whole thing at all, but it is Little League. They do have rules. so to speak. Dom time. Welcome in. So on Fox, the noon show today, Dan, talking about this cheap fakes, deep fakes that we let off talking about around the eye test, seeing Biden freeze up, Obama get him off, what happened with NATO, and 100 other instances, and saying, are they really in the debate going to make the charge that Fox and these others are engaging in that? That's litigious. They ought to be sued if they do, because Anderson Cooper seemed to be going there last night. And it's outrageous. They're showing the full context of it, particularly this one with President Obama. It's obvious that Obama took one for the team. You can see what was going on. Try to pivot him out of there and pretend like he was slapping him on the back after he had to grab his wrist. So, anything to prop this guy up for the debate. But I'm convinced, even with all the prop up, there will be, for any reasonable person, signs with this guy. Now, will he just completely break down? Is that something that would be tactically advantageous? I still think having Biden being called out for this and still as a nominee is not a bad thing. I could be convinced, though, if Kamala Harris would be tagged in, then that's a better thing to win on our side. Because there's no way I see Kamala Harris being elected president. But is that what would happen? The scenario the Daily Mail says is they would make it an open contest and somebody like Newsom or somebody else gives an inspirational speech at their convention. They go wild and that's who they go with. I'm telling you, I don't see it happening. I just don't. And what we're going to see here with Biden is going to be able to get to a very low bar. In other words, whatever they do with him, prior to something like the State of the Union, they're going to do it big time with this. Now, on the other side, I'm happy to tell you that President Trump is actually not reading policy books. This is even better. He's not doing mock debates. Who's going to play Joe Biden? We should have made that for a side. Who is it? Mr. Magoo's not available, right?
No.
No. So, Dan, I would love to be the opponent. It's like the sparring partner, you know, with the champ. I remember Rocky. They thought Rocky was being called to be the sparring partner for Apollo Creed. He goes, I wouldn't be taking no cheap shots, all that stuff. So, yeah, I'd love to do that. Put him through, yeah, if he can withstand that. But he's meeting with people like J.D. Vance, Tom Homan, the border guy, Kellyanne Conway, Stephen Miller, his immigration guy, Rick Grenell, who was Trump's acting director of national intelligence. And these are people that have been around him. They're not, you know, coming up with 100,000 factoids. All Trump needs in each category is one unshakable talking point and then run with that. That's all that he has to do. But flying completely by the seat of your pants, let Trump be Trump. I know that's just meandering. There has to be an organizing point in there. And I think with inflation, it should be rife. With illegal immigration, he should be able to do that.
Shouldn't be hard.
No, and it does take not overloading him. You know, he doesn't like that, doesn't respond to that.
Does he have to be careful not to allow Biden and turn himself into a victim? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
I feel the strategy that they're hoping to get out of this debate is, so look at Don being super aggressive to Joe, and, you know, Joe's the poor guy here, but he's such a better person for the country, blah, blah, blah.
Well, the last debate, the first debate, I guess, Trump did a little bit of, the microphone will be killed. So I've come around to say I'm in the camp. That's the Trump's advantage. He can only talk so much. But not overkill with the facts, but just enough to be an organizing principle on the big stuff. And actually talking with these guys, going back and forth. And then out of that, the process is write it down, a point or two. That's all. And then on his feet, you know, he'll do what he's going to do. But I would stick away from going after Biden on that. For example, Trump gets instinctually, the high road. Hunter Biden, yeah, I'm not going to go there on that. I understand father and son. I understand what that's like. But I also understand what my family's been through by what has been concocted here. That's fair. There's no ground to be gained by beating up on Hunter Biden in that forum. In fact, there's ground to be gained by saying, you know, I get it with the father, but our family has gone through this unnecessarily. And Trump has said that. And I think he can do that. But Miranda Devine, sharp again, New York Post. We don't want to make Biden so bad that we've lowered the bar so much that if he just stands up for 90 minutes, pretty much, then we got to say, all right, he did pretty well. All right. So it's a tricky act here.
It's a good point by Miranda.
Yeah, it is. It is. That's all they want. They want it to be so low that they
can... It's uninformed people who tune into the debate. If we,
yes.
if we as conservatives set them up to expect just a dawdling moron,
yes.
up there,
yeah.
and he,
yeah.
proves us wrong by using some big words, they're going to leave it thinking, oh, look at these conservatives lying about President Biden.
Yeah. On something like this, Dan, he has been so political his entire life. He can say political things, policies, whatever, even if they don't make any sense. He can weave that together. His problem is, on a daily basis, when he's not all pumped up and whatever they're doing with him to get him ready, he just can't get through it. So for this, I think he pretty much might be able to. And what Trump's message, I think the takeaway should be, wow, you know, what they're saying about Trump is all wrong. Trump actually put forward policies, hope, optimism, reaching out to all Americans, including African Americans. The template is the Trump that we saw in the South Bronx that I think we're going to see Friday in Philadelphia. Just do that. You don't have to pound this guy into the ground. And that'll be a great takeaway. All right, let me go to Dawn, Huntington Valley, who I think is going to be one of those door knockers on Talk Radio 1210. Hello, Dawn. Afternoon to you.
Hi. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm actively door knocking currently, but I'm also going to be working inside the Broad Street rally. So with that said,
well, Dawn, let me ask you. You're coming from Huntington Valley, right, and going down to Temple. What would you say to people? Dawn, are you insane? What would you say?
Absolutely not. I was a nurse who had to suffer through COVID. Thank God for some sense and free thinking and the freedom of thinking for myself. I knew that I wasn't taking a shot, and I didn't take the shot, and I lived through seeing things that the TV was not accurate on, but I had to go to work while everybody got to stay home, and I didn't die. My family didn't die. So then I got involved, and I started knocking doors, working as hard as I can for things that I believe in, and that's baseball and the American way, right?
Yes. So what do you think of that Little League story?
The Little League, I love it. I was born and raised in Little League, and I can turn that into the transgender stuff, too, because, you know, coming from the inner cities of Philadelphia, divorced mom, softball, baseball, whatever you want to call it, saved my life. You know, it was a place to run and play in a safe city. I go to Philadelphia, and I cry my heart out. I can't believe it. I can't believe what they did to the area where I could pull a little water ice wagon behind me with a little friend at 10 years old, and we could sell water ice.
But where did you grow up in Philadelphia, Dawn?
So my family is, and it did establish Monkevich Playground, which is, I'll just talk about it, a crying, Allegheny Street. They're just ruining it.
Yes,
It was named after my family. So Monkevich was the first pastor at St. Albert's. But anyway, so then my family was in the Wissenerming section, and now Wissenerming, you could run from park to park freely. You had a playground down the street and a playground down the other way. We sold water ice for a quarter, pulling on in our little red wagon. It's horrible what they did to the city. And wake up, people. It's been Democrat run. I mean, stop listening to your union bosses. I'm sorry, I was a nurse, AFL-CIO, 30th Street. I worked as a nurse for years down there. I watched the doctors push young women through for abortions. Like, I could go on and on and on, but leave the baseball alone. It was my sanity. I loved it. I was MVP. I was all-star. I was all that. But guess what? My son now has survived everything you just talked about, and he's out there in Double Days. If you don't know the story of the Double Days team out there in upstate New York, Finger Lakes, look it up. It's a real good story. And he survived everything he talked about, the politics of baseball. Sit back, let the kids enjoy, let the kids, hey, my son walked away for a year or two from baseball, came back, and he's pitching. So he's doing a great job, although they only wanted him to play center field. He did what he was told.
but you play the game until you win, and you end up where you want to be, right? You fake it till you make it. He was that all-star center fielder. He backed up all those pitchers, made all those pitchers their stats.
I'm glad to hear all that success, Dawn. Please, a great call. Call us again, Dawn. Thank you. Thanks very much, Dawn. All right, coming from Huntington Valley to ring doors down there. Now, 2 o'clock, we're going to have somebody on from the Trump. Just to give you the logistics, a little bit of this. Look, we advise people who asked, if I go there, would I be safe, et cetera? And my answer was, I think you can probably reserve a parking spot. And if people did that, maybe they've had some success on doing that. In the various parking lots, there's at least one big one there. That's what you want to do. There'll be a lot of security on Broad Street, and you'll be able to walk there, and I think it'll be secure. You go parking in the neighborhood. I'm not going to give you a pie in the sky just because Trump is going there and all. It's dicey. I mean, that's the bottom line. Just look at the crime stats. Look at the difficulty. You know that from all the stuff that's happened at Temple. So that would be your plan. Plus, I don't think it would be that easy to get a parking spot, you know, without parking 3 or 4 blocks off Broad. I don't know the crime stats, Dan. I just know my own instincts when I'm down there. I don't park on the, what would it be, going toward the river. I would not park on the going up in numbers, 15th Street and all that side. I'd be more parking on the 13th Street side. I don't have crime stats in front of me. I just have my feeling over the years when I've had to be there. That's what I've tried to do. All right? You know, it's just a gut instinct on it. Okay, more calls coming up. Let me take this one. Jeff in Hatboro. All right, second chance. Jeff, who should get that second chance?
I'm going to say Will Smith at the Oscars. He seems really apologetic. I really like the guy as an actor. And
okay,
help
me, though. Has he apologized? I think What's-Her-Name says he hasn't. Chris Rock doesn't seem like he's signed off. I'm not sure, though.
You know what? I can't answer that, Dom. I'm not positive about that. It's just everything I read about it, it does appear that he, you know, is sincere with apologies. But whether he's done it directly to him, I can't answer that. Hey, Dom, why I have you on here?
Yes.
I've been trying to get a hold of you for a couple weeks now, and unfortunately you run out of time for my question. I've asked Jim this, and he said to ask you personally. So I have I live in Hatboro. That's Montgomery County. My driver's license, because I own a house in Ivyland, I vote at the Ivyland Presbyterian Church. I never miss voting, but as you say all the time, you never know what could happen in person. So I would like to do early voting, early mail-in voting.
Right.
And I've tried to get a hold of earlyvoteaction.com on the phone and by email. I've done it twice. I've gotten no response at all.
Okay, well, here's what to do. Would you? Okay. All right. Just send me an email, and I'll give it to Scott Presler, and we'll get you an answer.
All right, Dom. I guess I'll have to look up your email or.
Well, it's simple. It's just Domshow at AOL.
Domshow at AOL.
Yes.
Thank you, Dom. I appreciate you guys. And yeah, Will Smith. That would be my answer.
All right. Thank you very much, Jeff. Dan, quick verdict on Will Smith.
I think it's fair. Like, comparatively to other stuff that's happened and hasn't been canceled, I don't know why that guy still gets such a bad reputation. Maybe it was on such a grand stage. But I think it's a fair answer.
Okay. I don't know that he's been apologetic, though. So, you know. And I'm more in the camp, a guy talking about your wife, but then this is a little bit of a different circumstance. I give wide berth. Somebody talks about your wife. I'm on a jury. I wouldn't say that because I want to get on the jury. It takes a lot, Dan. So you hit him a few times. I don't know. You know, one of those things. Are you in that camp?
I don't know if you go up and use such physical violence. Maybe wait till after the show and...
messed up the Oscars.
Yeah. You
get them a higher rating, yes.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Wait till after the show and do something then.
Yeah, okay.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3. From Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.